Welcome to episode 160 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong, and tonight I'm joined by not one, but two of the big dogs in the Run to PB community. We've got Zach and Newman, as always, and back by popular demand, ranked for a third visit onto the podcast, is Miss Laura Curlin. How's things, team?
Going well, Chriso. Yes. Great to have you on, Laura. And I think I just had to step in because I know you've been on a couple of times and getting a little worried that I'm going to be put out of a job. So I thought I'd just make sure I'm on the call this time.
Needed.
No, needed. I don't think there's any risk of that.
needed someone responsible like Zaka to come along and just make sure things didn't get too out of hand tonight. So, no.
Yeah, I'm outnumbered with the shepherding crew.
Yeah, well, Laura is an unofficial member of the Shepparton crew. Certainly one of SOAF's athletes, but definitely an honorary member of Team Shep.
No, excited to hear about the Shepparton Marathon, which we'll go into a little bit later. So we've got a pretty big show, Chriso. We've got obviously hearing from Laura, hearing a bit of a training update off the back of the Shepparton Marathon. We've got obviously our training updates, a bit of around the grounds, Chriso. Results to touch on there.
Around the grounds and an interesting world record chat tonight. One positive, one very exciting positive, which we'll unwrap very shortly. But probably we don't talk about negative world records all that long, all that often. I don't think we ever have. And we're going to open a can of worms tonight. So yeah, looking forward to that. And also a bit of breaking news that I became aware of today. We've got some new kit. There's new kit on the way, Zaka, and it's very, very limited time only available. I'm gonna sound like we're shelling out specials tonight, but we'll go into that in a bit more detail as well.
For sure, mate. You're gonna throw in the steak knives on that one.
Mate, we're going to be doing steak knives, buy two, get one free. Yeah, it's a bit of BOGO.
Brady, the CEO, Brady.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Remember the last time it got a bit loose. We've only just got world record chat back. So, not going to be able to shell kit if I come out with too much nonsense.
Before we jumped on, we got a bit of a... We tapped in to Soph for a bit of an update. Well, it wasn't not an update. We wanted a quote from Soph, and she came through with the goods.
And the thing we love about Soph is she's very honest and she's very direct, and she doesn't mince words. Soph doesn't sugarcoat things, and she's gone pretty hard on this quote. But do you want to what did Soph have to say about our dear friend Laura?
He said, so we obviously said to Soph, hey, Laura's coming on. Give us a quote about, her running of late and the marathon. And this is a quote, absolute epitome of trusting the process, embracing the monotony of a training plan and thriving in consistency. I'm very, very proud of Laura and eagerly await what is next. And, we know off the back of the marathon, I know Soph did a post about or shared a story when you had finished that marathon. So yeah, very proud coach still a few weeks later. And like you mentioned, Chriso, she doesn't mince words and nailed it there.
If you get a compliment from Soph, you're traveling well. And because I love Soph, I think she's incredible. But if you earn yourself a compliment, that is like literally the highest praise you can get. So you're very special, Laura. How's that, Matt? What's your response?
Honestly, like that was almost like part of the best part of it all, because she was like so proud of me, and I was like, oh, I've done it, I've achieved.
Yeah.
No, she's always proud, but I think she was extra proud this time around, so it was pretty cool. Very special. Thank you, Soph. Shout out to you, because she is an absolute legend, and she is a straight shooter, and I love it about her, so it's nice to hear.
Very, very impressed, coach. What do you reckon, Chris? So should we get a bit of a, actually, Laura, because you've been on a few times, but for some of the listeners, we've got a few. We obviously we pick up new listeners every week, aren't we? So I don't know.
We're losing them, but getting them.
We're probably getting them.
It's a mix. It's a mix. I think we definitely do lose some on a weekly basis, but we do get some fresh faces too. And they won't have heard some of Laura's insights, but yeah, probably for those that haven't had the pleasure of listening to you before, mate, you know, tell us a little bit about your running and how you got started and how it's kind of progressed to here.
Yeah. Well, I started like a long time ago, probably over 10 years ago, but just sort of always really enjoyed doing running events and like half marathons and that sort of thing. And I sort of got into it like while I was down in Melbourne for uni and just heard about it from a few friends and thought I might start doing that because all through school I danced a lot and yeah, I just needed something else to kind of put my energy towards. And then, yeah, started running and then I probably dipped in and out of it a little bit through my 20s. And then the last couple of years I sort of wanted to take it a little bit more seriously because I just really enjoy it and it's a big part of my life and that's why I decided to sign up for coaching. And yeah, I've just like the last probably 18 months has just been awesome because I've seen a lot of improvements that I didn't ever think I was kind of capable of and didn't sort of even, I guess before I had coaching I just kind of thought you could either run really well or you couldn't and like people like naturally gifted, like I didn't really sort of know that I could get a whole lot better at it. But yeah, I have, and now I'm just absolutely loving it and very excited to see what else I can do and how much more I can achieve. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell, really.
And Laura, people who follow you on Strava would see some very interesting maps pop up and some nice photos. Whereabouts are you located in Victoria?
Yeah, so I am near Echuca, so yeah, near Brady, in Corop. So normally from Rochester, but at the moment I'm out at Corop at my parents' just because of the flood. So I've been here for nearly a year. So a lot of my Strava maps are just out on very straight dirt roads. And I honestly think it's the best, but a lot of people are like, how do you do that running out there on your own? But yeah, so it's sort of, I guess you could say Corop central to like Shepparton, Bendigo and Echuca. It's kind of in the middle of all of those places. So right smack bang in the middle of Victoria.
And it's a big town that you live in?
Oh, and just for, just for the listeners, Zach is background tonight. I was very impressed. He's got the Corop store up on his background, our little general store, which is sadly closed down, but it used to be a really thriving business when I was growing up. So yeah, it's got one street and not very many people. So, and yeah, lots of farming community around it. But yes, very blink and you miss it kind of country town.
We're talking on, according to Wikipedia, which is usually spot on, census 2016, population of 129, but then the town itself claimed the population was 33. So, I don't know how that works. Yeah. So, yeah. Are you in triple figures or under?
I would say under. Yeah. To be honest, I actually thought there would be more than 33 in the township. But yeah, now I think about it, makes sense. Like there's nothing there. You know, Chriso, you've driven through it.
I have, mate. It's always a highlight on the trip to Bendigo to get to Croft and check out the store. And I know when we travelled through there on the bus for cross country this year, I sent you a little snapshot and said good day. So it's a beautiful place.
Surely you get a minimum of 36 kudos every time you go for a run around Corot. You've got everyone on Strava, they all give you the thumbs up.
Massive running community in Corot.
Yeah. Sort of like
high-fiving people all the time. Yeah. It's so good.
It's going to be a mecca for marathon runners in the future. Watch this space.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Corop project launching soon.
you're onto something, Chriso. Maybe I'll have to start that up. Might draw some people to the area.
they say build it and they will come.
True.
Well, you're definitely sporting the fastest marathon time there off the back of Shepparton. Just what are we now? Is it a couple, 2-3 weeks ago now?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks or just over. Yeah, 2.5 weeks ago. Crazy.
What a day. Chris and I had a chance to get out there and you put on an absolute clinic. So the lead up of the race week was pretty tough. And then you managed to get there, like as we all go through the taper, it's just can be a roller coaster of emotions physically and mentally. But race day, got there and how did it up? What was some of the parting words from Sove?
Yeah, the week before was interesting. The day before was no good at all. But anyway, we got there. So I actually felt very, very lucky that I actually made it to the start line. But Sove and I had a chat the day before and we just sort of she gives me so much good advice. I have to write it all down because I'm like definitely not going to remember this. She's just everything that she says helps. So I always sort of think I really just want to remember everything. But like the main things really were about how I would run it and when to kind of have my fueling and that sort of thing. But yeah, it was sort of just talked about like really settling in for the first 10Ks and then really sort of enjoying it and picking it up a bit through the, like after that for the next 20, because obviously after 30Ks it all gets a bit hard. And just trying to go by feel, that was the best piece of advice, because I don't do well with being told a time I've got to sit in. I just can't do it and I think it makes me run worse. So it was very much just going off feel, and like if I felt like I could push it a little bit more, go for it, don't worry about looking at my watch. And same for if I felt like I needed to pull back. So, yeah, those were probably the main things from our conversation the day before, which were really, really, really helpful on the day because I definitely had that in my mind. And it sort of stopped me from looking at my watch as well, which was good. Sorry.
Just on the
course like that, yeah.
Yeah. So just on the leading laws, at what point in the week did you feel confident that you would be on the start line?
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Like earlier in the week, I didn't feel like I wasn't going to be on the start line. I think it was sort of off the back of because Ryan and I got back from Western Australia the week before, and it's only a 2-hour time difference, but it did throw us a bit because like we just couldn't get to sleep. Because we were just a bit out of whack because of that. And so then we'd go into the next day tired and I started to get a few headaches, like just from having a sore neck and being tired. And then, yeah, the Saturday I woke up with a really bad migraine, like a mechanical one. So I was just thinking, how am I going to do this? Like, I don't know how I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be able to do it. And, yeah, I didn't sort of feel like I could function properly until about 6 o'clock the night before. So I was pretty stressed and I couldn't fuel on Saturday. Like I just couldn't eat. So luckily I'd eaten a fair bit on the Thursday, Friday. I think that helped me out because it must have, because I managed to get it done. Yeah, I just said to Mum, she had to drive me over to Shep. We stayed there the night before. And I just said, we'll just wake up in the morning and see what happens. And if I'm no good, well, we'll just have to call it. But luckily, I was like, yep, I think I can do it. At least I can do half of it. And if I don't feel like I can keep going, I can stop. But, yeah, so I managed to get it done and it was good.
That's nerve-wracking. Just hearing that, knowing what it's like the 24, 48 hours before a marathon and 20 that last 12 hours, 24 hours is just, it's just another level of complexity when you've got that going on. Yeah, look, just looking at your Strava, you had a few fans out on the course and very cool post race photos. Do you want to You want to mention a few of the people that were in there that came along and supported your journey?
It was so nice. I had lots of people there because it was local, so it was great because I could have quite a few friends come along. So I had my friend Pip, who she does a bit of running, and she's from, I work with her as well. But I didn't know this, but her kids made these beautiful signs and they said, "Go, Laura." I didn't know they were doing it. And cool. I was like, yeah, it was so nice. So they were there. And that sort of, when I saw that, I got a bit emotional because I think I had like 2Ks to go. And I was like, oh, it was just so nice.
Yeah.
My partner Ryan was there. He like ran with me for the last 50 meters. And so the finishing video was of me just like clapping for him because he doesn't run. So that was massive highlight of the day. I was like so proud of him.
You've only got to run 42K to get him to run 100.
Literally, yeah. Literally. No, I was really proud of him. And, yeah, two of my very best friends, Brody and Stephen, were there, and my mum and dad and Ryan's mum and dad. I'm trying to think. And obviously, like, yeah, lots of people, like some of the Shep people were there and Run to PB people. So it was so cool. That was the best part, was just having them all, like, along the finishing chute, and I just could wave to them all when I was finishing. So. It was awesome. I was so happy to have them all there.
So cool. How hard did it get? 36K. I see you 453 in there, 445. Like, were you, how deep did you have to dig? Because you ran a huge time, massive PB. I don't think we glazed over the fact that you finished second overall as well. You ran 3:14. But how tough did it get?
To be honest, like, if I compare it to the last two marathons I've done, it didn't feel like, it felt the easiest of the three that I've done. But I think just because I was, like, obviously a lot fitter this time around, so my body handled it a lot better. But yeah, the last like 6 or 7K, I was like, oh, like, my legs were just tired, and I didn't I never got to the point where I thought I can't keep going. But I sort of couldn't really push much more either. Like, I just kind of hit that wall and I just needed to get it done, which was a bit frustrating. But at the same time, because I'm not very good at my Garmin, like, I didn't really know when I hit the hour, it starts a new lap. So I didn't really know, like, what time I was even running. which I think was a good thing. So it did feel hard. It's all a bit of a blur. Like, and my legs were just, but. I didn't sort of ever get to a point where I was like, I need to stop, like, I'm not going to be able to do this, which I have in other marathons. So that was like massive for me. That was such a good new development, I suppose. yeah
Over the course of the year, mate, I remember having a bit of a chat just prior to Easter, and you had sort of quite some humble goals, I think, relative to the marathon. And it's been amazing to see your progress over the year, but how have those goals changed for yourself as you've become more confident and more fitter? You know, did you have some pretty high expectations of yourself if you were able to go into Shep 100% fit, or was just kind of, as Soph tells you, just trust the process, listen to your body, and the result will look after itself, and whatever that happens to be, you'll be happy with?
I think because with marathons, I'm still trying, like, I think I learned a lot from this block, but trying to still get to know my body more, which I think I do now. I know, like, what pace I can sit in and maintain for a long time versus what I might be able to do for a shorter time. But I think had I been 100% fit, I honestly, in my head, was like, oh, I'll be stoked if I can run 3:20. Like, so I really did exceed my own expectations, and I suppose, like, I genuinely never ever thought I'd run under 3.5 hours, like, in my wildest dreams. Like, it just wasn't something that, like, I just didn't think I could do it. So it's pretty cool to see, like, what consistency's done. Like, it's just, I'm just the product of following my plan and doing what Soph says, and now I'm like, oh well, what more can I do? I'm like 3:15. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. it's just cool to see the results.
And has this sort of fueled the fire to continue chasing the marathon for a little while, or are you thinking some shorter distance goals or some different events? You know, what's on your radar over the next sort of 6 to 12 months at this stage?
I definitely, I know I said to you yesterday, Chris, like, definitely want to do another marathon next year and like the year after that. Like, I just want to see how much more I can improve. Because I just love distance. Like, I know I've talked to you about this and you're trying to convince me otherwise, but I love long runs. Like, I just, it's, in the horse racing world, they say you're either a stayer or a sprinter. But, you know, I think it would be good for me to do some shorter stuff as well, which I'll need to have talked to Soph, but I'll look at doing some shorter stuff for the next, like, yeah, over the next 6 months, I guess. Well, I'm not doing as much mileage, but yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what you can convince me to do.
You'll appreciate the longer runs even more by doing some shorter races, I think.
Yeah, I think I will.
The whisper is that maybe, so Zach is a bit of an exclusive on the podcast, that
yeah,
we might see Laura at a few XCR events next year.
Yeah, I did see the sign up to Melbourne Uni, so I was pretty happy to see that.
No, I think there may be a hint very of good blue. Recruit. Yeah. Maybe a hint of blue in the uniform, but I'm not sure it's uni blue that we're chasing.
We'll discuss that off air and put the there's still some room on the table, I reckon, for some bargaining for an offer.
Mate, the starting bids are high. Hey, there's a name in demand, that's for sure.
Hey, Chriso, thoughts on Laura's sock choice? I know there was the alpha flies going around. Out of 10?
Oh, no, it's a 10. Loz is a good mate. Mate, she could have turned up in a total mismatch. But, no, I was very impressed. Probably I was a big fan of the fluoro yellow top. I thought that sort of meshed in with the shoes very, very well. So, big fan. Did a great job and probably saved her several minutes across the course as well, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
look, she definitely embraced look good, feel good on the day.
I feel like my race outfit is very standard. It's like black top, black shorts, and colourful shoes and socks. That's always my go-to. Yeah. No, I'm glad you liked them though, Chriso. I wasn't sure if you would like that I had like fluoro, like the similar colour socks to the shoes.
No, it was very. I was very impressed. Although last night at training was a bit ordinary, but you've been forgiven for that. So last night. Loz has rocked up in a old Vaporfly, sort of white with a bit of sort of fluoro yellow splash of that Bolt colour, I think they call it. And then fluoro pink socks. I'm a big fan of pink socks, but probably they weren't quite the right shoes. But hey, it's a training night, so you can wear what you want. It's cool. And you ran well too, mind you.
I did see you've been people tagging you in to help them with sock choices at the moment. So.
Oh, mate, that's a different story. We're focusing on Laura at the moment. But we can get into that more detail soon. But how's recovery going, mate? Last week you knocked over 28K, so probably not one of the bigger weights that you've done in the last few months. But first introduction to a little bit of faster running last night. How's the body feeling and how did you enjoy it?
Yeah, good. Last night was good. I feel like it was good for me to actually get moving again because I've been taking it pretty easy. And the week after I obviously did nothing, and then I've just been kind of jogging really for like half an hour. Last night was good. I felt pretty good. But I think, like I said to you last night, I didn't go too hard and I didn't really want to go any harder. Like, I was sort of just like, this is enough for me. But it was sort of good to just dip my toes back in. And I think in another couple of weeks, hopefully I'm feeling ready to dive back in. It's funny, like I think I said to you last night, Chris, you don't realize like how sort of tired you are until after the block. Like, and then I realized, I was like, well, I actually do need a bit of a breather. But yeah, getting there slowly. I think I've appreciated a bit of a rest. So I
think you're starting to freshen up mentally a bit now as well.
Yeah, I'm sort of like particularly this week, I'm sort of wanting to do a bit more running. Like I'm missing it a lot. And I last week I thought, oh, this is what people do after work. Like,
yeah, it's a whole new world.
Get up and go straight to work. I don't know. It's just kind of like something's missing a little bit. So it'll be good to pick it all back up again slowly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to go through that process post marathon. Like you just have to, yeah, accept it. I did see you hit the tennis court. So maybe, you know, you've got to at least, yeah, bit of agility work, at least running around the court to keep you moving.
Yeah, that was I actually used to love tennis growing up, and we just decided when my siblings were home for Father's Day, we were like, let's go have a hit of tennis. And even Dad came in, and so that was great.
Good stuff. Well, any more questions, Ari, the marathon, Chriso, or recovery?
No, I suppose really just trying to talk Laura into getting down to a park run now. Before the weather gets too warm, because her 5K PB has pretty much just been in training sessions. So I know she really enjoyed running 5K in the heat at Echuca last year as part of a triathlon team. So we're hoping that we can get Loz down to a park run, maybe in Shepparton or Echuca. We're just debating on the course a bit. Sometime over the course, maybe October, early November, just before the sun starts to get a bit too much sting in it, and see what she can do.
Good idea. We'll have to tee that up.
Yeah, maybe we might do a bit of pacing, maybe.
Actually, that would be great. If you pace me, definitely come. But otherwise...
All right, well, we'll see if we can negotiate something there. Sounds like a deal.
Yeah, sounds good to me. You can get me over the line.
Righto.
Mate, Chriso, on to you.
Me?
Training update. You had 64 Ks last week, and I actually think we might have tied with Ks. So I think yours was probably done a lot easier than mine. But, yeah, 64 Ks for the week for you, mate.
Yeah, pretty dusty for the first half of the week, I tell you. Monday and Tuesday, I literally had the tow rope attached because Anna dragged me around the streets of Kyala for the first couple of days. Well timed rest day on the Wednesday because I think I, whilst I had every intention of taking things easy and feeling good, probably did run a little bit too much Monday and Tuesday because Andy just said, look, you can run all the easy Ks you like so long as you feel all right. I'm like, yep, cool, awesome. But no, rest day Wednesday, but that was perfect. It was just what I needed because Thursday I was able to jump into a session with Anna and I just tagged along. I was just hopeful of being able to keep up, if I'm being honest. And I was hoping that maybe Anna would carry a little bit of fatigue over from the half marathon and she'd be content just rolling the legs over because this was her first session post-half as well, sort of a good 10 days after that. And turns out, no, she was fully recovered and absolutely flying. So we just went at freshy effort for 20 minutes. And after that, couple of minutes of standing recovery and then 4x90-second strides with a 60-second recovery in between that. And got a bit of a shock into the threshold and it was about 4 or 5 seconds a K quicker than it normally would have been previous to the half marathon. And I thought, hang on, we just better check in here. And Anna was chatting away and cracking jokes and just, yeah, as there was no doubt that was the effort she was meant to be in. But yeah, whereas I was sort of panting a bit and probably struggling. So she was at threshold and I reckon I was working a bit closer to somewhere between 10 and 15 K effort. So I was the one that was battling. But yeah, it was good. It was good fun. The 90-second strides, Anna completely embarrassed me again over the first 20 metres. She has some genuine wheels. over that first 20 meters, I was just hoping that she'd get like the fatigue had built up or a bit of lactic and I would catch up. And thankfully, that did happen because she wasn't even within earshot those first 10, 15 steps. But no, it was good. It was good fun, lots of positives. And yeah, hoping, I guess, a similar thing for Anna as well now that getting into the warmer months eventually and just looking at some shorter races, maybe some park runs and that sort of thing. So yeah, but no, it's been fun. More easy Ks for me again this week. So the agreement was 2 weeks of easy Ks and modified sessions. So I'll jump in again with Anna tomorrow and then hopefully knock a long run out of about hour and 45 on Saturday, go around sort of 75 to 80 Ks for the week. And then so long as Andy's happy, we can jump back into a plan the following week.
I like it, Chris. So there's a bit of hunger to get on the track.
Yeah, there is. I got an email from AV during, it might have been late last week, and it had, I guess, their summer schedule. And saw that this year, so previous years, Bendigo and the Box Hill events have been pretty tightly stacked, and me being old means that I don't pack up all that well. But there's like a month in between Bendigo and Box Hill. So Bendigo is early Feb and Box Hill is early March, both for the 5K. And then I think there's a 3K at the end of March as well. But I'm actually keen to, and this might not even happen, but it's a pipe dream. I want to come and run a Vic Myler's event and like run in probably M grade, but just get absolutely smashed by kids. and look, whether that's over a 1500 or a 3K, I don't really care, but I just reckon it'd be good fun and just something to experience because I've been super impressed at how much the Myler's Club events have grown over the last few years. So I'd love the chance to come down and experience one.
So you've done a Box Hill Classic
but
not a Milers.
Did the Box Hill Burn.
Burn,
yeah. Yeah, so that'd be, well, I guess it'll be 18 months ago now. And I loved that, absolutely loved it. And that was right at the tail end of the season as a lead in cross country. But I wouldn't mind doing one as a hit out to, I guess, get used to running a bit faster and then use that as a bit of leverage into some 5K track races over summer. And they'll sort of be my goal events.
Do they do a Milers at Lakeside? Have you raced at Lakeside before?
The closest I guess you could say that I've raced at Lakeside was finishing on the track after the 10K at Albert Park. So technically, maybe, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, no, I haven't gone from gun to tape on the track, but yeah, I've watched a lot of Myler stuff on YouTube. I've watched a lot of stuff at Lakeside, both like live and also on YouTube as well. Just once, I want to go and experience it. I'm not fussed really at how I go. I just would be good to go and have a hit out and enjoy it because yes, running's the same sport. Please don't take this out of context, but the skills that you use for a short track race are completely different to what you go and use for cross country. And I think, Laura, you'll be able to appreciate this, that the marathon's a complete different beast again. Like your halves, your 10Ks, those sorts of things. The mindset and the energy systems and the endurance levels that you need for the marathon, that's a completely different set of skills again. So I really want to touch base with some of that shorter stuff and, just have a bit of fun with it. Get the spikes out.
I'm also sensing with those guns that you showed off at Ballarat, you're pretty keen to maybe throw a few elbows around as well.
Well, I've seen the young kids and how they throw them and I'm not the most robust of builds, so I figure that if I'm going to get shunted to the back of the pack, I'm either going to have to start on the inside line so I don't get pushed like six wide and sort of buried. So, I've got to stand up for myself, Zaka.
I think you need
I think you can
get you to work on the starts. Sorry, Laura.
I just said, I think he can take them. I reckon you can take them, Chrisso.
So it depends on the grading. I think if I'm put in a race where I'm sort of aiming at a time that's a little, you know, where the ambition just outweighs the ability a bit, and these things get off to hot starts. I remember quite vividly Kiwi Steve explaining 1500s and just frightened the shit out of me. If I get stuck in a 1500 with literally anyone under the age of 18, they will be a good, I would say, 30 to 40 meters ahead of me by the time we get to 200. And it's just going to be a process of, I hope they blow up and pick up a piano, and it just gives me the chance to slowly get back on and work into the race. Because let's just say it's not the first 200 that would be my strong point. So, look, I think I'm much better suited to 3 and 5K on the track. 1500, I'm way out of my depth. But, hey, it's about fun. So we'll see. I'll see what the boss signs off on. And, but I would dearly love to give at least one Milers Club event either before Christmas or just after.
Well, try being my size, Chris, though, where the kids are taller than you anyway. So you start in the M grade and they're all taller than you.
I'm thinking that this, like, if I went down and I'm running in M grade against 14-year-olds and I'm still getting an absolute hiding from them, I'm literally going to turn to that person and go, I reckon I did all right for an old person. Like, it's literally going to be me. There's going to be me coming across the line going, yeah, hey, I'm 41. I reckon I did all right. This isn't too bad. Like, I didn't get lapped.
Oh, mate.
Well, that would be the aim, wouldn't it? Just not to get lapped, I feel.
No, and look, in a 3.5 lap event, you probably shouldn't.
The gradings are pretty good at Milers, then.
Yeah. I hope I haven't upset Tim at any stage over the last couple of years, because if I have, I could find myself in a race that I don't belong in, and that's going to get messy really quickly. So I love Tim. He's a great man. And he's I hope that he looks
show, up. Tim. Shout out to Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. He does. We sing his praises regularly. We love AV. We've been, actually, in all fairness, been super complimentary of AV, and I've loved my experiences over cross country over the last 2 years. It's going to sound like I'm really trying to
use the code Chrisso for a discount on your membership.
Yeah, if you're after a full member package, especially as someone, if you use code Chris at Run to PB, they'll just get you a big dose of pride. There's no discount, but give it a try. You just never know.
I will do that, mate. That's that.
So you are going to sign up for the summer series, Zaka?
No, probably not. Given how much it's cost me this year to race one race, although I'm getting a chance to run the relays. So I'm running the 10 relays this Saturday.
Yeah, relays are free though.
Yeah, I know.
The club pays for that.
It just makes me feel better that I have at least participated in a couple of events.
Did you?
Albeit one event I actually paid for.
Did you buy a max package at the start of the year?
No, I paid per event this year. Okay. Last year, it stung me. But it's still, it still wasn't cheap. Considering how many times I've raced.
I was going to say, if you bought a max package just raced the 10 at Albert Park, that's what, $360 to run to
I got the money's worth.
But no, that was my week. What about yourself, mate? So close to 60Ks. I'm hearing that you're throwing some serious iron around in the gym at the moment. There's some very positive reports coming in from the gym.
I've managed to be able to open the door to get into the gym now. I'm getting a bit stronger. That's going well. Like, I'm feeling more stable, feeling better across the ground on most of my runs. I'm having the odd day where I just feel like junk in terms of knees and Achilles and all the just old age general aches and pain. But they get that's like few and far between. And once I get it up and going, and some days that's just off the basis a number of things. It could just be I've been sitting down too long or I haven't had enough water through the day. Like, there's a couple of things where I probably just, or just accumulation of a few extra days where I'm starting to put the days back to back, it creeps up. But in saying that, like when I'm running 80 or 100 or 120K weeks, I still have those days. So it's just getting, you know, just layering on more and more each week. And yeah, 64K, a lot of easy running. And then I had my session on Saturday. Jeff was back. Yes.
The Rolls Royce.
The Rolls Royce. He came back for more. I thought I'd scared him off after last time.
Did he request your company or did you go to Jeff?
He actually did. He did. Yeah. He said, but it was more like, hey, I'll be here at 9:15. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, when we were gonna work out. We ended up doing 10 minute, 5 minute, 5 minute so 10 minutes was sort of steady at 3:45 ish pace into 2 minute recovery. Five, we're trying to like push that along a little bit. First 10 minutes, he was chatting away, just you know, chewing my ear off as he always does. And I'm like, so when I warmed up, I felt shocking. I just felt really just average. Although it was like, I'd actually had 6 days in a row. I didn't take the Friday off. So I was, I don't know, I was tired. I was like, oh, geez, this is going to be a tough session. I'll just try and tick the box here. And even when I started through the first few minutes, I was like, nah, I'm not looking at my watch, but I know this feels slow. It probably feels like or off pace. I'll just join in and have the conversation. And Jeff is not really, like, he's obviously not training that hard. He's just enjoying working a bit harder with me. So he was just chatting back and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we're just going to like cruise through this rep. And then it ended up being, when I look back at the splits, we were actually right on the pace. And after the minute, so we had 2 minutes, then into the five, pushed it along a little bit. And I could just sort of feel a little bit of a like intensity pick up, and I didn't falter as much. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can sort of pull this back. Then we had a minute recovery into the next one, and I actually felt probably the best I had for the first 2 minutes. And then things got pretty hard. I mean, even Jeff, he actually stopped talking finally, and he started to breathe a bit heavier. I was like, I've got him on the ropes. So pushed him a bit, and then he just sort of glided away a bit towards as a guy of his I think he was just looking at me like, nah, not today. I don't think I'm gonna get picked by an old guy. And he then finished and was like, he was up about, he's like, oh, I'm gonna jump in, because there was another squad doing 1k reps, like Jack Lahn and or Ising squad, so like, you know, all 150 sub 150 guys. He's like, oh, hey boys, what are you doing? Oh, they're doing a couple more 1Ks, jumps in on the back of them and does 2 by 1K. Like, probably what at sort of threes.
I was going to say, like, what sort of pace is Jeff just rolling for these K reps?
Yeah, and he's straight onto the chat, and these guys are looking around. These young guys are going, what is, I mean, they obviously know who he is, but
yeah,
it's just like, I don't know what it is. Like, this, I mean, he's a 4-time Olympian. Is it like muscle memory? Is it just the ability to just put yourself in the hurt locker? But yeah, it's impressive. It's really impressive. But yeah, probably the big positive was warming down. Whenever I've warmed down after the sessions, I could really feel the Achilles straight away. But each week, it's got better through the warm down, if that makes any sense. So I just sort of start and it's like, okay, I actually feel almost normal here. By the end, I'm like tired, but don't have that real fatigue in the Achilles, or almost like it feels like there's no power, where it's actually getting to the end and it's not too bad. So yeah, although we did another star spot name drop as we were warming down the river. Jack Rayner and Brett Robinson came by, and they turn around and go, oh, hey guys, you know what are you guys doing? And I said, Al was running with me. I said, we're just old and broken. We're just running like 5 minute Ks. Don't slow down and run with us. And they actually had a quick chat, and then we just like really pushed them on. We're like, come on, you cannot don't hang around on our court because we'll stuff up your run, basically.
Did you panic for a second and think, hang on, they're going to probably drag us to like 410s and 420s on my cooldown? Oh, and I'm just worried that I might just fall to bits.
I was just pushing so hard for them just to keep just like, get away from us.
Like, did you like just drop the anchor and go, nah, I'm like, I'm doing better than this, but I'm gonna run a couple of 520s just in the hope they go, oh no, nah, blow this, I'm out of here.
And Al's like, Al just can somehow go from running fives to fours. Like, if someone just turns up the, you know, turns it up a little bit, he can just drop into it. And I'm like, oh gosh, we're in trouble here. But fortunately, they must have just gone, yeah, actually, these guys are pretty old and slow. We're just going to keep moving. But yeah, it was a fun morning. It was like really nice conditions, beautiful morning for a session. So it's always good to get that done. And yeah, I get a chance to, I don't know, just be good to see where I'm at the TAN. I'm obviously not going to be breaking any personal records around there, but I'll start steady, get up the hill. Obviously got to go around the wrong way around the TAN, Chriso. So climb up Anderson Street Hill and then hang on for dear life after that.
You looking for, like, are you genuinely looking forward to it, or are you a bit nervous about how the body's going to go?
No, I'm not too nervous because I'm not going to take any risks. I'm not like, I'll be literally in with, we need a few teams just numbers wise from Melbourne. Yep. So I'll be in div 5 or 7 or something. So I'm not going to,
there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way.
No, nothing wrong at all. I'm just happy to be out there just to try and help the team with the numbers, but I definitely won't take any risks at the gun. Like, I know I'll get a little bit of white line fever, I'm no doubt. And running around the TAN and you've got all the other aspic guys running around, you're going to push a little bit more, but it'll be no different to the back end of a session. Like, I think it'll be hard, but I think it'll be a good way to, yeah, just to push a little bit outside the comfort zone. I think body wise, it should hold up fine. So I'm not too stressed.
Hypothetical question that's not on the rundown sheet, so we haven't prepped for this. Let's say, for example, take off on Saturday and you just look over your left shoulder and James Telford's right there. So Telf's steaming up onto the shoulder, mate, just as you're approaching Anderson Street. Are you going to get a bit competitive and sort of take him to school a little bit, or are you just going to stick to your guns and stick within the effort that you know that you speak to? Or, what, you know, maybe you're chasing him down. You're sort of giving him a head start. Would it be nice to run past the big fella just before the handover? Or, yeah.
I've got to say, seeing what James has been doing of late, training wise, mate, there is, even if the mind is there, the body would not be able to go with James the way he's going.
He's been training the house down.
Yeah, he has. So unless I could find one of those lime scooters along the TAN, that might be my only way to get him in the final straight.
Great idea, though. You should do that.
Yeah, I'll carry the card and just tap on and see if I get it.
Well, it'd be good for the journey up Anderson Street. I mean, once you've conquered that, I am assuming that, much like all the other ASFIC events, that there will be some specific Strava segments that might be worth a prize. So there has been a bit of cheating in athletics over the last little while. More to come on that soon. But do you think that we could see an influx of people using scooters to get around the TAN? Because, hey, like, it's premiership weekend. Teams are going to get relegated after this weekend and promotion's on the line. You know, is it going to be, are we looking at a win at all costs type setup with the Lime scooters?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be heavily patrolled. The official side of their work cut out. Especially with, Tim Crosby's listening, so I'm sure he's going to put some extra people on.
Are there any
patrol?
Are there any clubs that you're sort of a bit concerned about that might do that, Zaka?
There's only one, and that's Bendigo.
I think they've got most of the premierships sewn up, mate. It's
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's still to be ratified because there's potentially some, anyway, some breaches of the salary cap that they might, anyway, we won't go into that on air.
I didn't think there was an actual, like, tangible amount in the salary cap, is my understanding.
Well, that's their issue. They didn't think that.
But for those Bendigo Bats supporters, encourage you to get out your navy blue for the Bats on Saturday. The Divi One boys and all the supporters will be enjoying their new bat-to-bat T-shirts, having won the premiership last year. And they are ready to go. Andy's put in a power of work. They've been very popular, sold out already. And, yeah, there'll be some premiership T-shirts.
Yeah, I have seen a few of them across my desk. Mm. So I think Brady's already put one up on eBay, a signed one.
There's for 10 lucky fans of the Bendigo Bats, Brady was selling some of the merchandise. So for those fans out there, they sold out real quick. But, yeah, get down to the 10. Andy will be there. Yeah, signing autographs, I believe, too.
Good little segue into more plugging and more merchandise. You mentioned at the top of the show, mate. We've got
some
pink Run to BB singlet. So I've got to caution you here, Chris. They aren't hot pink. I've been told they're a pink mull. I've got a sample coming, I think, tomorrow. So I'm going to get a photo for the website and our socials, and obviously run it by you, because I know you'll get the Dulux color code out and give us the approval or not. But it's not as bright as the pink your socks are, but well, at least it's got a hint of pink through it. Different to the other ones we've had in the past. Got them. So the reason why it's pre-order is we need a couple of weeks to get them done, and we want to get them out to some people doing Melbourne Marathon. So the idea is if we lock away the orders by the end of the week, by Sunday, they'll have them available early October. So a chance to do a couple of final runs in them. And then, yeah, they'll be out on the course in Melbourne looking pretty fresh.
It's fair to say that over the last few months, we have received a lot of demand for some fresh kit, and pink being the preference. Now, by a lot of demand, I mean we have had a couple of inquiries. And just for full clarification, because I, Liam Beecroft slid into my DMs this afternoon, and he was adamant that I had a lot to do with the colour choosing of the singlet. So just for full clarification, the first I heard of these singlets was this afternoon when you sent me a video and going, hey, we're going to plug this tonight on the podcast. I'm like, shit, are we? Like, whoa, hang on. And I'm like, whoa. I literally had to stop what I was doing, and mattress just looking ravishing, and the singlet just came through like, whoa, it's about time. We've been waiting for a time like this, and what better place to unleash our new pink singlet than at the Melbourne Marathon. I think as Laura touched on earlier, when you look good, you feel good, and when you feel good, you run marathon PB. So if you want to lock in your marathon PB for Melbourne, invest $28 in a Run to PB singlet. It's not much. I mean, it's not even a dollar a kilometre, if we're being honest. You know, things start to get a bit tough around the 28-kilometre mark, and if you shell out $28 for one of these singlets, you literally will just fly along the course. I know one of my athletes, Kate, Laura's familiar with Kate because we all did the podcast together. She's already put an order in for two.
Right into it, yeah.
So not sure whether they're both for her or there's one for her and a partner, Owen. But, yeah, mate, they're flying off the shelves, and technically they haven't been delivered yet. But, yes.
Off the virtual shelves, yeah.
Off the virtual shelves. I'll be definitely getting myself one, and I'll probably get Nora one as well. She gave the Insta story a big heart. She's a big fan, so we'll be investing heavily at our household. I look forward to them being distributed by Hudson out of our merchandise center. And yeah, should be good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And if you're not doing Melbourne, you don't have to be doing Melbourne Marathon. You can have a few extras down the track. So we'll have some in the store or if you end up doing, say, the wellness run, which is, mm-hmm. I know you sported a pink singlet there, and it's always
ran a big PB.
Big PB, so almost guaranteed PB.
It's all about the singlet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. Like, Laura, is it fair to say that you'll order one as well?
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking about doing the Vineyards Running Festival at, I think it's near Nagambi. So I might order one and that. That'd be great. And then I can just enjoy the wine afterwards.
What better way to enjoy a spot of red wine than in your brand new pink Marl Runs PB singlet? For those people that are a bit, well, hey, Zaka, I'd love a singlet, but how the hell do I get one? We direct them to the Runs PB website. There'll be a link in the show notes, I'm sure. But just on the Runs PB website under the shop link, I think there's for want of a better word, there's a link to the shop. And, you can jump on there and put your pre-order in. And,
And those who have just started tuning in, welcome to the Run to BB home shopping channel.
Mm. And it's probably tax deductible as well. Is that fit? Potentially.
It's a uniform.
Could people count it as a donation to charity?
Sure. Chris, I'm not a licensed financial or a tax agent, so
this is general advice, and we're not taking your personal needs into consideration. So
you know those lines. We need to move on, mate, because I know you would sell these singlets for the next hour, but
I thought that's the sole reason I was on tonight.
Quick one, round the grounds.
Yes.
We had our partner event, Huff and Billy Unrun. How cool was that? Seeing the photos, had a massive turnout. Nigel was absolutely, he's done a sterling job to bring this event back. Hugely, like, massive support from the local community. Some big guns going around. And we had our very own winner in the half marathon. Clara Kiefel Johnson. So amazing run from her to get first female, and coached by Madeline Heiner. So, yeah, how about that? That was amazing.
Good to see the participation numbers off the charts. The train was absolutely full. Sadly, no Uncle Chen. Couldn't get Uncle Chen across the line. But, mate, just what a resounding success to see. I mean, I don't think Nigel could have asked for it for a better event. And yeah, to see Clara run to PB's own, taking the tape over the finish line, that's just a bit of icing on the cake. So
Channel 9 news action, mate.
There was
multiple news outlets. Herald Sun covered it. It was really cool. And yeah, Mads was pumped. I know Mads mentioned Clara's training for Melbourne Marathon. So really good tune-up race for that, aiming for a Boston Marathon qualifier. So sub 3:15, I believe. So, yeah, she's really, no pun intended, but on the right track for that one, Christo.
No, I'm very well played by Kitsaka.
Steaming towards the Anyway, get us back on the rails, Chriso.
No, very, very impressive effort there from Clara. Did we have some other athletes who went around on the weekend? I know that there's one half marathon runner that you're very keen to touch on, Zaka. Not a Run to PB athlete, but had that. But were there any other athletes that we wanted to cover that we had?
There was just one other. I mean, we had a number. We didn't want to go through a whole. There was a 100-mile at Glasshouse Mountains that went on in Queensland, I believe. Ron Cook, massive, like 100-mile. Like, it's just whenever we read these ultra results out, it just blows our mind. And Ron Cook was fifth, coached by Tate Avery. And yeah, 27 hours out there. So massive effort to because that is not an easy place to be going.
No. Zaka, let me tell you where my brain was at when this result came through. So I didn't process it as a 100-miler because to me they don't exist. Like, it's just crazy. I 10K and then saw 27:18. I'm like,
Hang on, what?
We got someone that's just rolled a 27:18.47 over 10K. I'm like, that's insane. I'm like, who is this guy? And then hang on, I've read it properly. Like, oh, hang on, that's 27 hours. Like, I would need enough caffeine to drop an elephant to stay awake for 27 hours, let alone run, like do something physical for that period of time. Well done, Rowan. I just don't have the adequate words to say how amazing that is. I literally can't comprehend or process it, which, you know, we had an event, not we, there was an event in Shepparton. I had nothing to do with it. There was a backyard ultra in Shepparton, Zaka. Neither of us got an invite, and I noticed Laura didn't turn up for it either. But a last man standing contest, they're spread to Shepparton. Where they run like a 6 and a bit K loop, and they start on the hour every hour. And they'd taken over the Botan, mate. They even went out there and are doing some hill loops. So,
your local legends getting,
I mean, was a bit worried that it was going to lose a bit of legend status out there. But thankfully, this pass that they ran on, there were no segments. So that's okay. But yes, yeah, so there was Backyard Ultra, and numbers were apparently really good. So one of our Shepparton Runners Club runners, Mark Bedell, participated, and he set a new PB, and he knocked over just on 134 kilometres over the course of the event before he had to...
Over a 6K loop,
starting on the hour every hour. And had to pull out, unfortunately, with blisters on his feet. So, for me, that's staggering. So... I don't know how these ultra runners do it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to like hear what their strategies are and like how they do that. Because I mean, you could easily run 6 and a bit.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I haven't given it enough attention to know the exact loop distance, but it's 6 point something. Yeah, like you could jog that quite comfortably. You could walk, run it for the most part, I reckon. But question, Laura, serious question. How much money would we have to pay you to go and do a backyard ultra? Is it something that you would do for fun, or would you need a fairly heavy financial commitment to get out there and sort of want to go and slog it out? Because the people that are running and winning these things, they can go for a couple of days.
Yeah, I actually would like to do it, but like, obviously,
you know, Stoke listens to this podcast.
But like, I'd just be interested to see like what it's like. I wouldn't obviously last 2 days, or wouldn't even last 24 hours, or I don't know. I wouldn't even last 6, probably. But I don't know.
I think you'd last. Would you? If you had to choose between doing like 24 hours plus in a backyard ultra or getting on the track and running a hard 1500 meters, what would you prefer?
Probably the backyard ultra.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Right. Can I jog 1500 meters on the track?
No, option is not available.
1500 is not a fun run.
Yeah, and it's not a backyard 1500 either, where you get to do 1500. Like, maybe you could do a hard 1500 on the hour every hour. maybe there's a market for that. I don't know. New event coming over summer. Keep an eye out. But surely a hard 1500. It's over in a few minutes.
Three minutes for you, Chris. 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe not quite 3.5 minutes. Not for us. Not for us common folk. But yeah.
Hey Chris, so yeah. Should we round out the show?
We've got a couple of things, I reckon.
Okay. World record chat firstly, because I don't think Brady's going to listen this week because he's busy with Sydney Marathon. So we'll get away with this one. But something came across my desk from our friends over at Canadian Running Magazine. 102-year-old war veteran became the oldest man to finish a half marathon. Great North Run, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Loz? 102 years old. Half marathon.
That is so impressive. How long did it take you?
I'm glad you asked, actually. Do you want to... So, Bill Cooksley, originally from Wales, but now residing close to Newcastle in the UK. What do you say? He was accompanied by his friend Gavin. Gavin took... I guess he was there as his carer more than anything, but... Bill's in good shape. So,
yeah.
Bill's, I wouldn't say Bill's run a lot of the race, but he's got it done. It's a fast course. So, keep that in mind, Loz. Fast tough course. Conditions. Tough conditions, though. Winner normally gets around in sort of 58, 59 minutes. It's, you know, quite big on the UK scene. But what do you reckon Bill went round in? 102 years old, oldest half marathon finisher, tough conditions.
Give her a range at least, Chris.
Give her a range. So I think walk most of it.
Above 5 hours or below 5 hours?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Did you say above or below?
Yeah.
We're asking you.
Choose. Yeah. Do you want above 5 hours for Bill, or do you reckon he's gone sub five? Okay.
I think sub five. Come on, Bill.
Look, Bill may have set out with the best of intentions to go sub five, but it wasn't to be. So Bill and Gavin out there on the Great North Run for a total of 5 hours and 41 minutes to get the job done. So it's quite cool, actually. There's a photo of them both there, and it's actually got the lead vehicle, the pace car behind them, with elite men.
Yeah,
on top of the pace car. And look, Bill is elite in our eyes. I think just living to 102, phenomenal. But here's a man who not only is living, he's thriving. He's doing his own shoes. He's getting out there. He's still embracing look good, feel good, because he's got a pretty awesome hat on. From what I can see in the photo, it's like a matte black finish and the sort of thing that Laura, you would have seen last night at the skate park, some of the cool dudes with sort of like their trucker hats. This is kind of along the same vein, a bit of a matte finish and looking very sleek and very fit too. I mean, Bill's killing it. So 5 hours, 41 minutes at 102 years of age.
Just being out 5 hours at our age, let alone being at 102, like that is... Go outside for like 5 hours, like, and just keep moving. It's a good effort. And when you're 102, it's...
Well, I spent 5 hours in the garden. I wouldn't be going to work on Monday. I'll give you the tip. There's, I'd be cooked. Yeah. So,
he did it for charity. He has done some other things for charity. So he's for his 100th birthday, he walked 100 miles over 10 days and cycled 1,000 miles for his 101st birthdays. So, yeah, talk about...
That's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
So, Bill, and a bit more on Bill, because let's do him justice. He's a former English teacher and a member of the Royal Air Force. He prepared for the big day by walking 10 kilometres a week. And you sort of break that down. Well, it's about a 1,500 every day. You think about that. He's been doing 10-kilometre weeks. And then said, nah, bump that. I'm going to go do 21.1 in a day. Like, he's ramped. He's gone against all good advice and just completely ramped the mileage up.
Not going with the 10% rule.
No, he's not followed the 10% rule. But I'll tell you what, at 102 years old, you can make your own damn rules up. Like, you just completely own it, and he has. And he is now in the Guinness World Records as the oldest man alive to complete a half marathon. When it says unfavorable conditions too,
he had a crack at the weather. He said heavy rain. I wish we didn't have to go through that rain, but we did it. So he was a bit salty about the weather, I think. Yeah, I reckon there was sub five on the cards if the weather didn't come into play.
No. Zaka, we've got people running for 24 hours plus doing ultras, like 100 milers. We've got 102-year-old men running half marathons, raising thousands of pounds for charity. I just feel insignificant. I don't know. I think I've really got to make more of a contribution to society. hearing all this. Like,
you come back and you're like, perspective, you know, you're happy to get a couple of laps around the tan.
Make a couple of hard laps around the tan. I'm traveling all right. Well, I know this guy named Bill, and he ran a half marathon, and he's 102. But Zachary, I want to cast your mind back to when you're away on holiday. We had Laura on, and she made a commitment to, she was going to chase a world record of her own. So Laura was going to pop into work and just have a, she was going to take on the Mr. Potato Head Challenge. So the blindfold of Mr. Potato Head Challenge. How did we go with that, mate? How did that finish up? What did that look like? Because we didn't actually see any footage. I'm just wondering how far you progressed on that one.
I can tell you, Chriso, I've been doing heaps of practice, especially the last 7 days, because all of the kids have wanted to play Mr. Potato Head with me in the past week, but I have not done it blindfolded, and they like to put like the body parts wherever they want. So they're the boss. I'm just letting them do that. But I haven't done it yet. I need to actually do it. I will, I promise, at some point.
Have the kids been asking about your marathon?
No, they couldn't care less. Most of them kinder children, so they have no idea. but their parents have been. But yeah, most of the kids are just running.
Is it quite humbling being around the kids?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Like from being arguably Korop's finest athlete over the last 100 years to small children not giving us stuff. It's, you know, it can be some, for some people it can be a bit of a kick in the teeth. How have you sort of found it?
Look, they just keep it real. They're so fun. I'll never forget, I had this little girl ask me a few years ago, I had really bad adult acne. It was terrible, like all over my face. And she said to me, she's like, why do you have spots all over your face? Like, just point blank.
No. What about one?
Yeah, kids are great.
Yeah, love them. Love them dearly.
Generally easier than adults to handle.
Yeah, most of the time, depending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying being a teacher.
But no. Big well done to Bill. But there's something that's been, I saw this very early on, just after it happened, Zaka, and it was quite funny.
Lit up off this one.
Exploded to the point where sort of a warning came up saying, you know, are you receiving spam messaging? But I think we were literally looking at this article almost at the same time, because I was reading it as you inboxed me, and I was literally getting ready to send it to you, God, Zaka. I think this is something that we need to uncover. Laura, last night we had a chat about the possibility of you doing an overseas marathon, and we brought up, you know, Boston, great history, but probably a shit idea because it's a point-to-point course, and we don't want that nonsense or that stress. London, that'd be cool. Berlin, yeah, fast course, that'd be cool. Have you ever thought about going to Mexico?
No, do you know what? Never. That's never entered my brain.
No, not down to Mexico. No, bit of an afternoon siesta. Could quite possibly be the fastest marathon course known to man in the history of ever. Would you like to know why?
Right.
Well, there was a rather large world record set. And I know a lot of people listening to this are going to be quite familiar with this because it literally was all over Twitter, found its way to Instagram. It actually did reach mainstream media, but Loz obviously hasn't found its way to you yet, my friend, and that's
I've been
okay.
the Corrupt General Store
No,
newspaper.
it wasn't made the Corrupt Weekly, unfortunately.
Good
But
finding, Karan.
I think there's an element, at any marathon, you might find the occasional person who runs in a bib that's not theirs. They might have borrowed it from a friend, or every now and then we hear a story. It's very rare, but you might hear of a person who might have taken other means to get around a marathon course. Perhaps they've jumped in a car, maybe a bike. Perhaps they've just hidden the bush and they've come out with looking a bit sweaty and they've come across the line pretending to be second and claim some prize money. I believe there might have been a little bit of that up in Queensland earlier in the year. But the people of the Mexico City Marathon have taken it to a new level, and we're all for people trying to get the best out of themselves, but this is ridiculous. So over the course of the marathon, Mexico City have gone and disqualified a total of 11,000 runners for cheating. Runners have been said to have used cars, bikes, and public transport to cut various sections of the course. We're not talking some village marathon, some social group. There was 30,000 people that took part in this thing. And over a third of them have gone, nah, bump this. I want to get in a bus or a
Talking
taxi.
about using the old lime
I'll
scooter.
get on the old lime scooter and gone, nah, it's getting a bit hard. No way. And the race organizers launched an investigation for receiving multiple complaints that participants have just been absolutely tearing the rule book to shreds out on sections of the course, and that race tracking data subsequently revealed that the runners had not met the checkpoints placed every 5 kilometers, which makes sure that participants have gone through the full 26.2 miles. I am absolutely flabbergasted that so many, like, have literally just gone, nah, who gives a shit?
Well, it's just like,
11,000.
it's a bit of a sheep
yeah, and like,
mentality, isn't it? Like, if someone just veers off the course and you think, oh, maybe we'll just follow them, and then another 10,000 follow. Like, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, Chriso. And when you dig a bit deeper, they've got a history of a few issues at this
they
race.
have. So I think to want to give this a bit of perspective. So Loz, Gold Coast. I want you to think to Gold Coast. Gold Coast is a gold label event. Lots of national, like the highest caliber of runners from Australia head there. Big international fields, live stream, live commentary, choppers in the sky, drones everywhere. Like it's a big deal on the Australian running scene. Guess what? Mexico City Marathon, World Athletics gold label status, same level as Gold Coast. So we're not talking like, oh, it was just out in Mexico and oh, someone was a bit naughty. No, this is a big deal. This is up there. Like, once you've got gold label, I think next it's platinum, and then beyond that, it's you're major. But Zaka, you're quite right. It's not the first time this has happened. Cast your minds back to 2017. So pre-COVID, life was a bit simpler. People still didn't care back then. 6,000 runners were denied their finishers medals after they were found to have not completed the full course. And you're thinking, well, hang on, what is it, a hard course? Is it poorly signed? No, no, it's not.
I heard of sort of barriers or any sort of markings on the course, maybe a map or something that let people know where to go. Just some ideas.
You think
Tim Crosby's listening, he'd have some good ideas to send him over.
If Tim's flipped the desk listening to this, just thinking, how does this even happen? Because, you know, you think they would have had a meeting at the end of 2017 going, look, this is not acceptable. We can't be letting this happen. What do you reckon happened in 2018, Zach?
Well,
what's the figure?
Well,
a few people just straighten up a bit. There's only, only 3,000 in 2018. So we're trending down.
We're sitting there at the end of 2018 going, hey, guys, great effort. We had a 50% reduction in cheats this year, but it's still at 3,090. A little bit concerned.
It's like to do with like gambling or something. Is there something like that involved?
You could be an investigator here because you're close. So, what they did in 2013 is they set up these collectible medals, and it's a set of medals you get for each one you do. So if you do one. In 1 year, it was an M. The next year was an E, and it was an X. So what's been happening is people have been not wanting to have done one, but they want the full set. So they're just signing up, cheating their way, not training, just to get this collectible medal. These medals have become a thing. It's sort of people selling them online, and it's just this. I know people get excited about finisher medals, but this is next level. So they're literally cheating to get the finishing medal, and that's has actually caused this issue, which is absolute nightmare.
And the issue with the course is that there's a number of out and backs with no barrier through the middle, so it's pretty easy that if you're struggling or you're just like, no, I'm literally here, I've got to collect the X this year because that's what I'm missing, to just pull off to the side of the road, tie your shoe, wait a few minutes, and then just head back. Just turn around. Like, don't bother going. Just turn around and go back from where you came from.
Yeah. So that was 2013 to 18. And then they obviously I believe in 2018, they decided they were getting really strict on giving those medals out, so they thought, oh, I think we've caused an issue here. So 2019, they came up with a new idea, which was still a broken up medal, but it was sections of the map, one section per year. So now this is what's brought it back. So now all these people are just cheating away to get the to build the map via the medals. So yeah,
one other thing as well,
which stopped a couple of years of it. But
one of the other things as well, Zaka, is that it's believed that there's a number of people also looking at the opportunity to get these medals and sell them on the black market, that there's a bit of money in it. So they're cheating their way to try and get hold of the medal so that they can flip it for a decent bit of coin on eBay as well. So I'm not like, who's to blame here? Like, the athletes need to take a bit, and I use the term athlete very loosely in this regard, do the athletes need to take a bit more responsibility, or we put it pointing the finger at the organisers and going, hey, this is, you know, have you really thought this through? Do you think that you potentially could have done this a bit better and not sort of made it as tempting or as easy for people to come along and just cheat their way?
Did you say earlier, Chris, did you say earlier that for the first 10 people that buy a singlet, there's an M medal available?
Yeah, I did. So the low price is $28. And free shipping for purchases over $500.
To Mexico.
Yeah, to Mexico.
Yeah, that's a good deal for those who are missing that M.
Have we thought about doing some medals?
Yeah, it could be quite a lot of cheats. Yeah, that is just that was a crazy story that came through. Like, what happens next year?
Loz, with Shep being a 2 lap course, were you tempted to just do 1 lap and hide in the bush for an hour and a half?
Crossed my mind. I just thought, I'll just. The thing that I can't believe is like how many corrupt people there are that do that run. Like, because I don't know, like maybe you would expect like one or two dodgy people to try and get there. Most runners are running for like personal growth or like they want to achieve something. Like, you haven't actually earned the medals.
Could you
I don't know.
imagine?
That's.
Could you imagine the Strava post? Like, someone's just logged 16 Ks, like Mexico City Marathon. They've got their finishers medal. They're just getting bulk kudos. Like, wow, awesome
Jeez,
time. Like, yeah.
rolled an hour for your marathon. Well done.
Ran 250. Like, oh man, you've never broken 4 before. Like, yeah, geez, I trained well.
Wasn't not my day.
Not.
Went full send, went out hard early. Not my day. We'll learn from today.
At
Ah.
line bikes.
You're
Yeah,
like,
that's
usually, like when you're packing your race kit, there's Alpha Flies, Vapor Flies, cool socks, bright top. Probably the biggest decision normally is half tights or shorts. Shouldn't really need to decide whether you're going to go the blue or the white bike helmet. Should not be on the list.
Well, Sydney's this weekend, and they've got 15,000 people lined up to go across the bridge. So pack your Opel card over in Sydney. We're not at all advocating Sydney get major status by having 15,000 people run 10K instead of 42.
No, well, particularly if they're chasing a time, because I think pretty tough course,
It
Sydney.
is.
It's going to be warm.
Do you know the just before we finish up here, Chris, when you land on articles and they have like the related story to this with a link is woman learned her boyfriend was cheating thanks to Fitbit.
Oh,
I
no.
didn't click on that link, and maybe we'll save that for another time, but yeah. Yeah. The old put your Strava on private.
Well, some of the heart rate data might have spiked and
Brady.
not
Brady's gonna cut this one, I think. All
stop it right up.
right. I think we've
But
done
then
our dash
did you get
here.
a link, maybe a link in the show notes to that?
Is that
No,
article?
or maybe not.
No, just the singlet.
No.
Just the sink it singlets. That's the only link that's going in there.
Run to pb.co shop, $28, both male female cuts. Highly recommend. I've got a blue one and a red one. Gonna complete the set.
Love it. Good stuff. Well, thank you both for jumping on. It's been fun.
Loz, you're a champion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It was good fun. Always up for a chat with you too.
Third episode that you've been on, I believe when you get to 5, there is a participation medal. So, yeah.
Selection.
Actually,
I
what
can call it.
we will, we'll end on a controversial note because last week, some of the feedback, actually, Scott Corbin slid into my DMs too. A little bit late listening to the podcast last week, and you did apologize for that. Those of us that don't have an air fryer will have missed this, but if you do have an air fryer, apparently that is the single best way to reheat pizza. I did maybe overstate my bounds last week and said that our Better With Running podcast is an official pineapple on pizza podcast and big advocates for it. Zachary has said that that may not be the case, but Laura, are you a pineapple on pizza girl?
Yes, I am. Very much so.
Tiebreaker.
So for the record, tonight, the Better With Running podcast is officially pro pineapple on pizza podcast. So put your pineapples out for the Better With Running guys.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
I hope so.
Yes, hopefully we get through. Brady hopefully does not listen to this one.
Hi, Brady, if you're listening. Have fun in Sydney.
And we will chat soon, Laura. And we'll chat before your next backyard ultra.
Yeah, sounds great.
Or 1,500 meter track race.
Make it easy, guys.
See you, mate.
See ya.